And as we have been mentioning, we have a call-in show today with regards to gardening. Lee Skidmore is here with us, and we're going to speak about seedlings, hardening off plants, and a little bit more. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Well, we talked about hardening off, and that's always a concern when you raise plants indoors or when you buy plants at the nursery is, when can I put them out? And there's certain things you need to think about. If you raise it inside, hardening off, which means the process of adjusting plants grown indoors or in a greenhouse for full exposure outside. The plant is introduced gradually for longer and longer periods of times for a week or so before you actually put it in the ground.
And why is it important to do that? Is it just shocking to the plant if you do things too quickly?
It would be very shocking. If you take it from inside, my house is 66 degrees most of the time, and if I put it outside and it's 44, that's quite a temperature change, and it's just not used to it. It would be like taking you from here and taking you to San Antonio where the temperature could be 40 degrees warmer, and your body just needs, or the plant just needs, a little bit of time to adjust.
And when we're hardening off plants, does it matter what kind of plant it is? Do you use the same procedure, whatever it may be?
Basically, yes. The more tender plant, the longer your hardening off time should be, and the more careful the placement of where you put it outside in the very beginning should be. So if we're putting out some tender herbs, like tarragon or sage or some of those things, you need to start putting them out just a little bit of time, and I made kind of using my schedule. The first day, I would put them out from 7 to 8 a.m. because the sun's not real bright, it's not real hot outside. The second day, I would do 7 to 9 a.m. So you gave it just a little bit more time. It's not real hot. It, you know, kind of protected. The next day, 7 to 10, and this is the schedule that works for me. Everybody with a work schedule and family life would have to adjust it, but you need to introduce slowly to the temperature change. Then maybe I'd have to do another 7 to 10 day, depending on my schedule. Excuse me. And then maybe 7 to noon or 7 to 1 or, you know, 8 to 2, and then you've got it pretty much able to be outside. So then you want to leave it out in the daytime and bring them back in at night just so that they're not quite so shocked. But you can see how we're lengthening the amount of time they're exposed outside. And then after a week or so, and the ground isn't so cold that it hurts your hands when you try and dig in it, then I would go ahead and put it outside. And if necessary, I would protect it with a milk jug. Cover it with a milk jug so that it's got a little protection. Leave the lid off, and then if it'll get warm, it'll help the soil warm. You just can't throw it out there and say, hey, be happy and grow, because it may not do that. And you need to apply a variation of that schedule to plants you get at the grocery store or nurseries, because they've been greenhouse grown in the lower 48, and the temperature is 20 to 30 degrees warmer there than it is here. So they may suffer a setback if you just put them out there and say, okay, grow.
And so if you're getting plants at a nursery, are you looking for something in particular when you're picking them? Can you tell if you have a healthy plant, unhealthy plant?
Yes, you can. You really can. You want to smell the soil. And if the soil smells fresh and sweet and, you know, good, then that's number one. Look where the plant comes out of the soil, and you want to make sure that there's not debris there, like dead leaves and moss growing, and that the stem itself isn't dark, because that may be a sign of fungus infection that could cause it to die. You want to look at, you know, look down inside the plant to be sure that there's no mildew or moss or any black stuff in there. Sometimes they get so crowded at the nursery or in the greenhouse that they don't have air circulation, and so you're getting started with a mildew situation that may kill the plant. And, you know, that applies to if you buy them at the plant sale, if you buy them from a neighbor, if you buy them at a garage sale, you need to just take that extra minute and check it out. And if you do it four or five times, it becomes habit. You know, like you're picking produce at the grocery store. Pick the tomato up, turn it over, and look for all the to see if it has spots or soft spots or something. You want to do that same thing with your plants, no matter where you get them.
Okay, going back to your seedlings that say you've grown indoors or in your greenhouse, you're hardening them off and getting ready to put them out there. Do you need to, you know, they're in oftentimes just little...
Four packs
or little pots. Or some little thing, or however you have your little seedling tray or whatever you may have. Do you need to protect that as you're going in and out, since they don't have, you know, real deep roots?
Or... You need to make sure that you're watering them, that they have good drainage, and that the first day you take them out, you're not putting them out in the sun, so they get, you know, 2 hours of sun. And you want to protect them from a downpour. And when you're ready to plant them after they've been hardened off, you want to plant them on a day that is overcast and maybe showers but not pouring rain. And also the wind, you want to protect them from the wind for a bit. Once they're in the ground and rooted and going, then you don't have to worry about that. And you can you know, protect them a little bit with like a milk carton, like a milk jug, a gallon milk jug that's got the bottom cut out of it, and you push it down in the soil to protect it. You can put a piece of plastic or plexiglass to kind of protect it, and yet it gets the full outside feeling. And the more you do this, the more you look at your neighbor's yard, the more you ask questions, the more information you have, the better decision you can make for your yard.
Okay, and if we're talking about, you started them indoors, you have your seedlings.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when they're ready to go outside? Do they need to get to a certain size, a certain number of leaves? Like, how would you tell now is the time to start
transplanting
them?
Well, when you look at your seed packet, it tells you if you're raising them inside, you know, plant them 4 to 6 to 8, 10 weeks before you're ready to put them out. And you put them out after the last danger of frost. And here it says, you know, the almanac says our average frost dates are May 4th to October 4th. We never get frost in that time. So you can put them out before that, put them out before April 1st, and you know, you can go back to mid-April to put them out. You know, watch the weather, watch the wind. Don't plant them in soggy areas. And they should do okay.
So now is the time.
Now's the time, yes.
Or you could have started a little earlier, I guess.
Well, I put kale and chard out Mother's Day weekend. No, not Mother's Day weekend. The weekend of May 5th and 6th. So it's all out. It's doing well. When I put it out, and mine are in bins, you know, raised bed things, I have old wooden crates like you get at the grocery store with grapes turned upside down over them to give them a little bit of protection, especially at night. And so it just helps get them started. The better start they get outside, the better your production will be.
Okay, and you're, again, introducing them about an hour, then 2 hours, gradually working their way up to being
okay,
independent.
Okay, outside by themselves. It's like sending the kid to college.
Get them packed and ready to go.
Yes, yeah. You'll get a lot of information on when to start planting for our, if it says 6 weeks before, go 6 weeks back from that April 19th date. Or May 5th date, so you know when to plant, so they're ready to go outside at that time. And granted, not everybody does all of that. It's just whatever fits into your schedule. You know, why? If you know you can't do that, why stress yourself about doing it? So it's just, I usually put them out when they're, like the kale and the chard, when they're about, excuse me, about 6 to 8 inches tall, so they're nice and bushy and full, and they've got a chance to survive. And if they lose the bottom leaves, that's not a big deal, because I've got the whole plant growing. Be careful planting annuals out there so that you don't squeeze that stem, because it's very tender, and damage it so that it dies quickly. Read your seed packet back to tell you how far apart to plant them. You know, if you're planting like the kale, it says plant it 18 inches apart. Well, mine are in bins, so I can't put one plant in each. So after it gets started and it's in the ground for about a week, I will start harvesting the lower leaves And then it will keep on producing probably through the first frost. Sometimes kale doesn't even die in the frost, and it will stay in the garden all winter. So, and this year I'm trying Russian white kale. Number one, it's prettier. It doesn't have that real bitter taste to it, in my opinion, and I like it both fresh after it's been frozen. I like it in soups, in omelets, in...
So it freezes well.
It does. I just take off the leaves, cut out that center rib, cut it in about half-inch strips, and then it can go in soup like that. We use it in lasagna. We put it in salads, but salads I would chop it up into, oh, maybe half an inch wide, and like matchsticks. So it's easy to eat, and it turns out well.
Okay, and are there, I'm mentioning just different plants that you're transplanting at this time. Are there seedlings or plants that you kind of plant out at different times of year?
Yes. Again, go to the back. If you want lettuce or basil or some of those things, look at the back of your seed packet, and it will tell you, you know, plant them indoors so many weeks or days before you can plant them outside. I've lost my train of thought. What was the question?
Of whether there's certain plants that you should be planting at different times.
Yes. And like, okay, with basil, to keep it going all year long, plant some this Monday. In 2 weeks, plant more. In 2 weeks, plant more so that you have basil all through the summer. I like those little flat discs, you know, that you get at the nursery and you fluff them up and then you put seed in each one. I'll do 3 or 4 trays of basil, the sweet basil, then there's cinnamon basil and Thai basil and Siam basil and just all different kinds. And then you can, you know, keep working with them, harvest them, give them away, whatever. They make wonderful herb baskets. And they're probably the most tender plant that I do, and I never put the basil outside.
Yeah, I think that is a tough one to have outdoors.
I think it is, yeah.
Just letting you check your notes.
My notes, right.
And going back to, you know, we talked about you have the ones that you've had in your home or your greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm have those, say, packet, excuse me, that I got from the nursery, are you treating them in any different way, or it's basically the same hardening process?
Well, usually the ones in the, like you get the 4-pack or the 6-pack, were all planted at the same time, so they're about the same size. So you could put those out all at one time. If you get some that look healthy and are only about an inch tall, I would transplant those to like a 4-inch pot, put them back under the lights for a while. Or if you're heartless, you could just throw that in the compost pile and go on with something else. It just, again, you know, if you have your garden journal, what you tried last summer and it worked or didn't work, try something different. Try different plants. Try them in different areas in your garden. If you put it way out at the end of the fence and the rabbits or the deer or something ate it, don't put it out there.
And talk a little bit about your garden journal. And what types of things you have in it?
I write down when I buy the seeds and what I pay for each packet. I write down, and this is really detailed, but it's how many pots of that particular herb that I planted and the date that I planted it. And then when it's time to take it out, I will, you know, took out 72 discs of basil and planted the biggest 18 in this flat and then put the others back under there. And I will scoot out the ones that are left to one end of the tray and start something else in that end. Like I need tarragon because all my tarragon sold at the plant sale. So then I will start tarragon in there and I will write down the date that I planted it and every, you know, all the details about it. And then when I get ready to move it to bigger pots, whether I'm putting it outside or I'm giving it away or using it in an herb basket, I will write that down. And if something just doesn't work, then I make that note. And, it, you know, it's don't try this again. If I'm trying something new this year, then I'll write that down. You know, whatever the, I did try some new things this year. I don't know where my notes are, but, I got cinnamon basil and it's about half an inch tall. It took like a month before it started to germinate. And I need to note that so that next year I won't dump those, or plant something else in those little discs, because it's a long time for it to grow, for even to sprout. And then it seems to be a very, very slow grower. So my decision has to be next year, do I want to waste all that space on something that is so slow growing, that is it worth it?
And it probably gives you a good sense of the seeds as well. Like, maybe was this a good year for the seeds or not a good year?
Well, and some seed packets will tell you, 85 to 90% germination. And some of them will say very low viability rate, which I'm thinking, wow. So instead of putting two seeds in each little disc, I would put four, hoping that at least one of them would grow. And if all four of them grow, then I need to either wait until they get to be about 2 inches tall and separate them each into a separate pot, or take my scissors and cut off three so that they're not so crowded, because that way I may lose them all.
And that's something as well, is if you plant several seeds in each like little disc that you're talking about, you need to thin them out, correct? Or maybe.
That's what the seed growers maintain, that you need to do that so that the healthiest plant will survive and the others just become greenery in your compost bin. I think it depends on the purpose. We're planning to do a lot more pesto this year than we have done in the past. And so I don't care if my 4-inch pots look like a forest, because I'm going to be pinching it regularly and freezing it or puring it and putting it in oil so that when I have enough, I can finish the pesto. But if I'm putting it out just to pinch daily, I would think one or two, no more than four little plants per 4-inch pot. And when you plant your seeds, and some seeds are just like dust, let's say we're planting a spinach and it's got a little bigger seed than basil, you could actually gently place the seed, one in each corner of the pot, so they have space. You can also keep a fan on low, an oscillating fan, so that it keeps the air moving, so there's less of a chance for damping off or mold or mildew to start forming on the soil around the plant. So it's just have fun with it. Play with it. Come to a garden committee or garden meeting and learn about plants.
Okay. And when is another one coming up? Are they monthly?
We are not going to have a meeting until the end of the month, and then we're going to be learning about making garden teas. And it's a workshop, and this is awful for paid members only because we had to buy supplies. The next big thing for us, the second Saturday of May, is our garden tour, our spring garden tour. And we're going to be looking at memorial gardens around town. So,
how many are there?
There's a lot more than I suspected. Three or four of the churches have them. Mm-hmm. There's one at Totem Bight. There's one at the high school. There's one near Fawn Mountain. There's one near Point Higgins. There's a lot.
The post office one. I know.
Post office one. There's one at the hospital. And the hospital's just been redone. Holy Name just redid their gardens. And so hopefully we can make arrangements to meet one of the people that worked on those or that is intimately knowledgeable, so that we can get the ins and outs. So it's still in the planning stages, so keep your fingers crossed.
Okay, and we have a few minutes left here. If anyone would like to give a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And did you have, I see you have a lot of notes there. Was there something else that you wanted to discuss?
Well, let's talk about lobelia. It's so easy to start. The seeds are smaller than a speck of dust.
I think I started some of that this year. They're flowers.
Right.
The various colors, and it is. It's so tiny.
It's like dust.
And when I put it in the little peat things. There's like 100 per dish because they're so, such tiny seeds.
But then you just let them get to be, I would say under 3 inches, and you can gently break the soil apart and then plant them in different places, or put each one back in a 4-inch pot, keep it going for a while, and then you can put it out. And some things are, like lobelia, are so easy to grow. You know, plant your own. Don't go to the nursery. And other things, like a lot of people talk to me about basil because they say they just can't get it to grow. I have basil all over my house, in the windows, under the lights, on the island, you know, on the coffee table, just because I think that's so easy to grow. Garden Club did lettuce bowls this year. We bought lettuce seeds from Territorial Gardens, and we bought large plastic, salad bowls at Walmart, drilled holes in the bottom, filled it with a good quality soil, put our seeds in, put a little bit of starting mix on top, and I put mine under the lights. Other people put theirs in the greenhouse, and some people just put them out on the deck. And they were nice size, full pots of lettuce for the plant sales. Mm-hmm. My red romaine, that's something new that I'm trying this year, is about 6 inches tall. And I think it'll look pretty in a salad. It tastes great. Seems to be doing well. It's almost ready to go out into a bin. I think my direction said plant it 6 to 8 inches apart. I will plant it probably 4 inches apart so that I can get it all in one bin. And then we'll be eating a lot of romaine.
And going back to you wanted to mention lobelia, and you were saying it's easy to grow it yourself. Was that all that you wanted to discuss about it?
Well, again, I would just read the package and do what it says. And then when the soil is warm enough that it doesn't make your hands ache, put it out. I mean, and it's lobelia seeds come, they're tiny dust particles. And the package says plant outside. Plant indoors 8 to 10 weeks, but you can plant right. Just sow them into the soil. And a lot of things, that's what they say. It's just, these are easy plants. They do well here. Plant them out. And so give it a try.
And seeds are fairly inexpensive.
They are. So they really are.
Easy way to take a chance.
Yeah. And now they're pelletizing the seeds. So they've got that little coating around them to make them easier to handle. And they're also they're making little tubes of seeds. And it says plant 4 in a gallon pot or 4 in an 8-inch pot. And there's your 6 or 8 different kinds of lettuce for your salads. And I think, wow, technology's wonderful.
And I've noticed that, too, a lot of mixed packets with a lot of multiple types of, say, lettuce or different types of flowers or whatever it may be.
This wild garden lettuce mix is one we got from Territorial, and they're beautiful. And you've got purples and reds and different shades of green, and you've got some white. And then you can get a different one from Ed Hume, and these are no GMO, organic certified, and you get different textures and colors and sizes, and it's just, it makes a salad an experience.
And for those listening in, Lee does have packs of seeds here that she's holding up to the radio, so you can see those various colors. But what is interesting, I attempted to plant some seeds this year, and I noticed there were certain ones that did not come up at all. And then when I looked at the packet, and I had just bought these, it said they were for 2015. So, and I think that was odd. I don't know how it got that from the store. But I don't know if that really made a difference. I mean, it's a couple years. But I just thought that was interesting, that they were older seeds.
I try and buy seeds for the season. Like, I try and do 2017. But some seeds... I have basil seeds going back to 2004, and I just mix those in with seeds for this year and cross my fingers and hope for the best. And I don't know which ones grow, but you can read on the back the viability rate to tell you what percentage should grow. And I'm assuming that if you called the grower and said, hey, I bought these seeds, And none of them came up. You know, I planted them with all my others, and this is the only one that didn't come up. They might send you a seed packet. They might apologize, you know, something like that. But two-year-old seeds, depending on...
It shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter unless they've been allowed to freeze or to get too hot, and then it would make a difference.
Yeah, and it's just interesting. It made me think I really should look at the packet before buying it. I mean, I basically just grabbed them and bought them. So
yeah, you should always look at the back to see if it's going to fit into your environment.
And that is also some things you can't really tell how tall they are or how tiny they are, whatever they are, if you don't read the packet. Because, yeah, I bought something that it's supposed to be 24 inches tall, which doesn't work really well in like a little window box garden.
No. I bought hollyhocks that I thought were dwarf hollyhocks, mm-hmm, that were going to be 6 inches tall. Well, the word dwarf never appeared. I don't remember what the word that started with D was, but they were 6 feet tall.
Oh, my.
So I had to take string and wrap them around them and then staple the string to the garage to hold them up. But, you know, everybody has fun gardening.
Yeah, read those packets.
Yes.
Know what you're doing. Okay, we just have a few minutes left. Are there other things you wanted to cover?
I think I've covered all my notes. I wish we had a question.
And if you have a question, you can give a call, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. Get your last questions in there. And also should point out, we are going to have another show next Monday.
Yes.
So if you do have any questions, you know, you can give a call to me here at the station. If there's topics you want us to cover next week, or you can email me, maria@krbd.org, and we'll get those questions together. And
we'll have another good show.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Come to the tour. Come on our tour. Look in the newspaper for the details of where the tour will start, and join us. Meet the Garden Club members and just have a good time.
So that's a question about the tour. Anyone is welcome?
Absolutely.
And you tend to carpool, is that correct, because there's limited parking? Or?
Usually we try and carpool.
Okay.
And you can join up with a carpool. Usually we meet in one place, and then we fill the car so it's easier to go in and out. And some places are quite small. Parking is limited. Live on a steep cliff. But yeah, come and join us.
Okay. And you said it's coming up at the end of May?
It's the second Saturday of June.
Oh, okay. There was something else at May.
Which is a paid member thing.
Oh, thing. Okay.
You know, I apologize for that. But because of having to buy supplies, yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for
You're
being here.
You're so welcome.
And look forward to chatting again next week.
Yep.
Lee Skidmore again with gardening tips, and we will be back next week. She will share more, and we'll let you know that topic, the main topic. And again, if you have questions, you can always email me, Maria, M-A-R-I-A, at krbd.org, and we can add those to the gardening questions.